91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour begins with veteran South Florida journalist Tony Doris, staff writer and columnist at the Palm Beach Post. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper here. We'll discuss the ongoing building boom in West Palm. In a city of around 100,000 people, there are $2 billion in projects underway. Most are designed with walking, biking, and outdoor artwork involved. And more at 1:30, Linda Gassenheimer takes on food fraud with Larry Olmsted. He's written Real Food, Fake Food. From seafood to steaks, cheese and olive oils, spices and honey, it's buyer beware. First, a roundup of NPR and regional news. And it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you. Bonnie Berman, still on vacation. We expect her back Monday. So we begin this hour with a visit by veteran South Florida-based journalist Tony Doris, a longtime Topical Currents contributor. He's a staff writer and columnist at the Palm Beach Post. Spent many years at the Daily Business Review as well. He's also written a second novel, continuing a serial story about a fictional newspaper reporter. It's called Floater and has many scenes with local settings from the Groves, Matheson Hammock, and Monty's to the Rusty Pelican, and get this, One Press Plaza in Miami. He joins us now from West Palm. Good to hear from you, Tony Doris.
Hey, Joe, how are you? Glad to see you still have that same guy playing piano in the studio there. Sounds great.
We just had the piano tuned for this program. Tony, let's talk about Zika in West Palm. So far, no reports of the mosquito-borne virus there. Is Palm Beach prepared if things start drifting north?
They are not. I mean, the best they're doing is telling people to that it's all in your behavior. That's how we're going to cure this one. You know, the old stuff about emptying out your flower pots from all the water and wearing long clothes and putting on insect repellent. There's no going crazy with spraying or going door to door or anything like that. It's not the Wynwood madness.
So inspect your bromeliads.
Exactly, inspect your bromeliads. And that's about it, really. I mean, people are wondering, you know, you're not really going to be able to change people's behavior, are you? So, in my view, it's you spray or you don't. But so far, people aren't worried much about it yet up here.
We have many listeners in Palm Beach County. If you'd like to join in our program and talk about Palm Beach County issues that you're concerned with, we have Tony Doris of the Palm Beach Post with us. Our number, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. Also, email, that's radio@WLRN.org, email radio@WLRN.org. Tony, let's talk about something you've been writing about quite a bit and also have experienced, the building boom in Palm Beach County, $2 billion with a B dollars in projects.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. West Palm Beach is at an interesting transitional stage where they've got, like you say, $2.5 billion, I think, is the latest number of projects proposed. Not all of them are going to come out of the ground. A lot of the builders, they buy the property and they announce the projects and then they see if they can get financing or not. But a lot are coming out of the ground. We've got apartment buildings. We've got a big office project plan that may or may not go up. It's quite amazing. I can't explain it. One hotel after another, including a convention center hotel. And someone has proposed a micro apartment building here where they'd have 450 square foot apartments for people that can't afford the rising rents in downtown West Palm Beach but might want a pied-à-terre, you know, to if they're coming in from out of town or if they just want to live in economical circumstances or relatively economical. Nothing's cheap anymore.
What are some of the specific areas and anything of importance being raised to accommodate new buildings?
Well, our old City Hall is coming down, but that was kind of a tired-looking 1970s design thing, and it's right near our waterfront. And that's coming down to make way for a big hotel apartment project. It's also going to have a an art park in front of it with a lot of outdoor sculptures and you know, just artistic elements to it right in front between it and the waterfront. But other than that, we're not losing any horrible, wonderful things. That hasn't happened yet. There is an effort, in fact. West Palm Beach has a kind of its own coconut grove. It's called Northwood Road. And there is an effort to preserve that. It's about a mile north of downtown. It's a really trendy area with lots of cafes and boutiques. And there's an effort to do a historic district designation on that to save it, you know, from future development.
What's historic about it?
Well, it dates back to the 1920s. That's when it was platted. And that's roughly when West Palm Beach started growing up. And so it has a few buildings there that maybe date that far back. A few date to the 40s or so. But basically the idea is they're one and two and three-story buildings surrounded by an area of development sites that are about to put high-rises all around. And so, you know, the hope by some of these historic district and historic preservation board types is to keep the smallness, keep the quaintness, the charm, you know, in an area where we've seen elsewhere how it doesn't last by itself.
I suppose maybe looking south to Broward County and, of course, Miami Beach, particularly the North Miami Beach and Sunrise, Sunny Isles area with all the huge condos, that there's an effort of downtown West Palm to be more walkable, bikeable, and sort of the arty goals that most municipalities are not talking about these days.
A big push to do that. And you know, the outdoor art is a huge part of it also. But, you know, bicycle rentals, and they're planning on putting a lot of main roads that go through West Palm Beach on road diets, which means reducing the number of lanes so that you can add more landscaping, bigger sidewalks, and slow the traffic down a bit. But we've got a huge outdoor art museum show coming up in November with, you know, all the rock stars of the art world are going to be there painting murals and putting in interactive artworks. So there's while all this construction is in the works, there is an effort, you know, by the folks in the city and the various organizations not associated directly with the government to really make it a livable place. And the other side of it, though, is that you can just imagine in a city of 106,000 people where you've got $2.5 billion in construction about to go up, you can imagine what traffic's going to be like. And people are looking at the examples of Miami and Broward when they worry about that.
That was my next question about traffic problems in the West Palm area. And what sort of mass transit do we have there?
Not much. Well, all aboard Florida, and I know you're going to talk about that on your show tomorrow, I understand, but all aboard Florida is about to put trains that do fairly high-speed runs between Miami and Orlando, and that's going right through the center of our downtown up in West Palm Beach. But there is not, it's one of the things, you know, I note in one article after another that there is no real east-west mass transit. There are buses. And there is an effort, you know, there that's a few years off to try to, you know, have all the lights set that when a bus approaches, it goes right through the lights, things like that. But really, there's little or no effort to widen roads, to do a 595 kind of thing, and make it easier for all the thousands upon thousands of homes that are going to be built to the west to commute to the east in the future. That is a huge problem waiting to happen. One of the things I think is when you start getting all these self-driving cars, there will be more efficient transportation, you know, for that commute, hopefully. But it really is, when you look to the traffic in Miami and to the people who live in Kendall and what they have to go through to get downtown every day, you know, it's a real worry that could happen here in West Palm Beach in 10, 15, 20 years.
Well, we talked about the walkable, bikeable, and the outdoor art and what's envisioned in downtown West Palm, but also they've done some zoning action to encourage microbreweries in the restaurant areas, which is typical of many communities.
Yeah, so we'll have a lot of people and a lot of drunk people. That's just you've been reading my articles anyway. That's a good sign, Joe. That's something that you know, it is this trendy kind of thing in microbreweries. They're in a lot of other places, but for some reason, in West Palm Beach, they were kind of considered industrial uses because of all the trucks that would have to come in and go out to deliver all this stuff. So they've had to adjust the laws to, you know, to acknowledge that it's not necessarily just industrial use, that it could be a fun thing to have in a downtown. It also means, though, that you got to adjust your laws so that you can allow that kind of alcohol sales within 500 feet of a church or a school, because some of the downtown area has churches near it, and they're doing that. So we'll have places to drink. We already have quite a few, actually.
Is there a big condo market in the West Palm area, and how are property values?
Property values are going up, and there's a very big condo market. Although a lot of the projects that are planned now are apartment rentals rather than condos. I guess maybe developers are sensing that the market might be ready to rest for a while. We have some enormously expensive luxury apartments that are going up just south of downtown. And one of the things about making the city walkable, and one of the hopes when we talk about traffic congestion, is that there'll be enough people living downtown, more and more people living downtown. It will be such a vibrant place that people won't necessarily want the suburban sprawl home out there that they will be living and enjoying downtown. There's a lot going on downtown already.
And, you sort of specialize in business-related topics, Tony. Is there a big difference, say, with property taxes between West Palm Beach, say, and the Fort Lauderdale, Broward County areas?
Property values tend to be lower. Things are less expensive up here. So taxes would be relatively low. It's kind of similar, though, in cities like West Palm Beach that have a decent amount of poverty, entrenched poverty and really low value zones as far as real estate goes. The city as a whole tends to have a higher tax rate, but other sections of the county are very wealthy, and so the tax rates there can be low because per house they get a lot of money in taxes. But it's I think things are generally less expensive here than in Miami-Dade.
We're speaking with journalist and novelist Tony Doris, a longtime Topical Currents contributor, also a writer and columnist at the Palm Beach Post. Tony, stand by. We'll take a short break and be back with more. And we're back 20 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you, along with Palm Beach Post writer, staff writer, Tony Doris. Tony, I read about Palm Beach is having a big problem, Palm Beach County, and in particular West Palm, I suppose, of problems with heroin being mixed with other street drugs, and it's getting to be quite a problem there.
We are having a big problem up here, and I should preface this by saying I haven't been the one who's been writing on this. We have a fantastic investigative team of reporters who've just gone at this topic from every different angle this year. There's a lot of heroin popping up. You know, it's a similar story to what's going on around the country where, you know, OxyContin is no longer necessarily the painkiller of choice, so people have been moving to much cheaper heroin. But we're finding a lot of that heroin's mixed with things like fentanyl that's 50 times stronger, or in some cases a drug that's used to tranquilize elephants. So there have been a lot of really sad situations, fatalities, very hard to deal with. And on top of that, what makes it, you know, especially pertinent to West Palm Beach, well, to Palm Beach County, is that this county has for a long time been a center of rehab places, sober homes. And our reporters have found that It's a completely, almost completely unregulated industry. These are places that many of them that are fantastic and save lives, but many others are just money machines where they illegally offer people a free month of rent or a free TV or free whatever to get them in the door, and then they have them submit urine tests and blood tests after blood tests to improperly get insurance money out of the deal. That's what our reporters have found. And so there's a lot of sober homes that don't provide the care they're supposed to, and on top of that, they're suspected of insurance fraud. And compared to that, on top of that, there's, you know, the whole issue with neighbors of these things. There's very little way for the communities legally to regulate where they go and how many of them are in one area. So it's, you know, it's a tragedy, you know, at the worst side of it, and very uncomfortable for all people living anywhere around it.
I know there were some residents who complained about some of these people sober houses may relapse and wind up maybe going into some criminal activity.
Yeah, and wandering around their, you know, very pleasant residential neighborhood. So in some cases, it takes a bit of tolerance and understanding, but in other cases, so many of them will move into one area that the residents just get fed up. But, you know, the real problem is just the addiction issue itself, and it's proved a difficult one to get at. In one case, our reporters wrote recently, you know, the feds did a raid on a place called Good Decisions Sober Living about 2 years ago, and here it is 2 years later, and they still haven't brought a single charge. You know, people in the community and community groups are having to do what they can to counter, you know, this situation, rather than necessarily wait for the prosecutors to catch up.
We're talking about Palm Beach County. If you'd like to join in with a comment or a question, you're certainly welcome. 1-800-743-9576. We're with Palm Beach Post writer Tony Doris. Also, email radio@wlrn.org, radio@wlrn.org. Well, a little more pleasant industry in Palm Beach County. There's going to be two more Major League Baseball training facilities in Palm Beach County. That would be the Astros and the Nationals.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a $144 million facility that's being built at 1,000 miles an hour. It's actually right behind my house. So I'm hoping it's a good thing. But it's it'll be the first time we're getting some teams back, I think, since the West Palm Beach lost the Atlanta Braves and Montreal Expos in 1997. And there'll be a stadium there and 12 practice fields, and they're adding a whole bunch of soccer fields for the community because there are never enough, you know, general regional parks for kids to play in. And it's fun to watch. I've been watching it every day. Now they're putting up the poles that are going to hold the netting that keep the hard balls from raining down on Military Trail. But people are excited about it because here we're going to have all these, not just, you know, fun activity, but economic activity as well.
I don't suppose it's a huge tourist draw, but certainly it does bring in some interest from people who travel to those kind of games for spring training.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised. It does bring in people. I mean, we have Roger Dean Stadium up in Jupiter that, you know, people who are from out of town who follow these teams in their home states come down and watch. But also it actually is really wholesome kind of entertainment for locals. And like I said, there'll be jobs for the local people, too, and it hopefully will invigorate an area that hasn't been activated in a long time.
Well, what in Jupiter, we have the Miami Marlins and also the Cardinals, so it's just a stone's throw from the other two. So there's four teams training right in that area.
Well, to me, that's actually the most exciting part, that with all the teams that have gone to Arizona over the years, you know, we can bring some teams back now here and you know, get some more activity going again in Florida, and maybe we can just put a wall around Arizona and let the Arizonans pay for it, you know?
I go back far enough remembering the Baltimore Orioles at old Miami Stadium. What a great place to watch a ball game.
Yeah.
Playing
it's
the Yankees,
A fun afternoon, you know, harmless.
Let's see, we have some phone calls for Tony Doris. Julie in Lake Worth, hi there.
Well, hi there. I'm one of the homeowners that had sober homes cropping up around our home, and it is a really big problem. We had three sober homes open up, and within the time that they opened up, we had five break-ins in our house, or five attempted break-ins. It's a big problem. We always talk about it in our neighborhood association meetings. And we talk to the commissioners, and they tell us that there's nothing they can do because of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
That's exactly it.
And you said it was unregulated, and that there was insurance fraud, which is really maddening. What would be step one, two, and three that, like, Joe Citizen could take in terms of, like, writing our senator or whatever? I mean, I have no idea.
I mean, that's
feels like
it.
Our
I mean,
hands
the local
are tied.
Communities, you hit the nail on the head. What you said is what we're hearing from a lot of people, that the local communities are kind of hamstrung legally. So I would guess writing letters to prosecutors and putting political pressure on there and to your legislators to find ways to regulate in a fair way. Because, you know, you want these facilities to exist, but the question is how many and where and that kind of thing. It's been unwatched for a long time.
Okay, Julie.
Thanks so much.
Thanks very much for your call. Getting back to the baseball, Tony, I see that the there's an exhibit called Love of the Game, Baseball in the Palm Beach, is now at the Richard and Pat Johnson Palm Beach County History Museum. It showcases the area's 120-year history with baseball in Palm Beach County.
Yeah, haven't been there yet, but I heard that that's going on, and that's a great history museum. It's worth checking out for sure.
Now, let's see. This may be from one of your relatives, Tony. This is from Katie. It says, love Tony Doris's book, Floater. When is the next one coming out? Don't plant on this program, Tony.
Yeah, sorry about that. You know, can't
so Tony Doris, my old friend, and now a novelist with two novels, right?
Yes, that's right. The first one was called Dirt, and it was about I was on the show. You remember? It was about one Miami scandal piled on top of another. It was fictional, of course, but very close to the truth. That was the one where I just took as many scandals as I had heard of. And either proven or been unable to prove and piled them all on top of one plot. And the second book, Floater, takes the same reporters who were the heroes for breaking down all the corruption the first time around. They now find themselves having been painted as the goats. They've been made to a false ethics scandal has been built up around them. So our hero Charlie Harrington is a journalist who now finds himself in exile in a squatter's hut in Matheson Hammock Park. And so Charlie is kind of in this book. Charlie is kind of given up on everything, and he's just watching the tides rise and fall. And but then a murder happens right at his doorstep. A body hits the water, and it looks like, from what a reporter can tell from a boat in the distance, it looks like it's the mayor who's been dropped in the water.
So this is sort of on the order of the beginning of, say, Edna Buchanan and Carl Hiaasen early works a little bit?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, there's a little bit of Carl Hiaasen in all of us these days. He's infected us. But, you know, it's also me. There's a lot in it about the reporter and his family and trying to put his life together while the crime itself gets solved. I'm kind of more about the relationships and the people involved and what's going on with them than I am about just a plot line.
Some of your readers and our listeners may not know of some of your youthful adventures when you had wanderlust. You wandered through Asia and Australia and also worked on a newspaper in Tahiti where you wrote in French also.
I did. I got to be...
How did that go?
That went pretty well, actually, although they had their own mosquito virus going on at the time. They had dengue fever, and I and everybody else on the island caught it from the mosquitoes. But it's a beautiful place, and I would, you know, always recommend that everybody go and have their adventure. You know, at that point, I was 30, hadn't had kids yet, and figured I better go have my adventure while I can. And it was the best thing I ever did.
Well, it's certainly good to hear from you again.
You too, Joe.
We've been speaking with South Florida-based journalist Tony Doris, and of course he's a staff writer and columnist at the Palm Beach Post. Thank you very much, Tony. Always good to hear from you.
Joe, thanks so much for having me on. Take care.
You too. Food and Dining, up next.